Going through the metal detectors at airports is always a pain. Taking off your shoes, your jewellery, your watch, going in, and then they say, go back, try it again. Then you go through the thing, try again. Can be a real pain in the bum, and it's even worse if you've got a metal plate in your body somewhere. Hopefully, though, this new technology will make life a little easier. Body scanning equipment will be rolled out to all Australian international airports from November. And joining us is Morris Mizalowski this afternoon. He's a futurist and technology blogger. And, we're going to talk about these. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Welcome back to Afternoon.
Thank you, good to be back.
So you actually had a chance to try out the body scanners in London.
I did. I had to force my way through. I must be the only person who ever wanted it done.
So, Joss, what's going on here? How's it different?
Well, it is very different from anything we've done before. Normally what we have is this little, alleyway that we go through. What this was in London anyway, there are different sizes and different shapes of it. This was a round cubicle. It was white, if that's important, and it has a glass entrance at the front and an exit at the other side, and you literally walk into this tunnel-like thing. You stand there, you hold your arms up as if somebody's holding a gun at you, which of course they're not, and this body scanner then operates around you and takes a picture of you that the operator on the outside has a look at to make sure that you don't have anything untoward on you.
So how does it work? What is it, sort of technology is it using?
So what it's using is, it's called a millimeter wave body scanner, is the technical language of it, and what it's doing is taking an x-ray, really, of your entire body right through. What we're told and what you can see on the screen is certainly that there are no intimate parts that are shown, so there's certainly nothing that can be made untoward of it. Those are blanked out, and what it's looking at is the body to make sure that there are no metal and non-metal items in it.
So what can it see? Will it be able to see, if you've got a steel cap in your shoulder or your knee, will it be able to see pacemakers?
It still does all of that, because what it's doing and what it's finding in those cases is exactly what it's meant to find, which is metal. Of course, in that case, it's benign. It's meant to be there. But yes, it is still finding those things. These have been around in the States for quite a while, and there's over 70 airports there, and there's always stories coming out of those airports of where people have been held up for things that were meant to be in their body. The great example that always gets thrown around is colostomy bags, for instance, because they have a metal clip on them, and they come up in the scanner, and there is a lot of people that have been blogging about having these colostomy bags and being stopped at airports and then asking people, well, do you want the bag? And of course being told no. Keep going.
Oh, no, really, I can hand it straight over.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really?
And if you want to go even further, there's one lady who blogged and said she always makes sure she has a clear colostomy bag when she travels, just so people can see that, in fact, it is what it's meant to be.
How safe is it? You did mention that it's like having an X-ray, but there's no radiation involved, is there?
Well, there is a fractional amount, and it really depends on who you listen to. But the Australian government, as part of their output of trying to get us to do this, says that it's 10,000 times less the frequency than a single mobile phone call.
Okay, well, yeah, not much.
No, and really, again, most of the things I've read say that it is just very, very, very slight. I mean, much more comes out of your toaster or your mobile phone. Of course, we're right to be anxious to some degree. We certainly should be asking these questions, but it does seem the technology is fairly low.
The other thing people are concerned about is what will happen with the images once you've gone through the scanner. Do they get deleted? What does happen?
Well, apparently they get deleted. I have not been able to find anything that's confirming that, but we are told in anecdotal evidence that once it's gone through, if it has no purpose, in other words, if they don't need it for records or to be able to prove anything, those are just deleted off the system. Again, what we are assured, though, is that there are no personal contacts kept with that image.
Is the process much faster?
At this stage, apparently not. It seems to be just as fast, or just as slow, whichever way you want to go, as the previous version. What tends to happen with this is they put a lot more people through that system as well. So that in itself seems to be holding it up.
So what's the advantage?
Well, the advantage is we get a whole body scan. So certainly we don't have that now. It is less intrusive from the way of there aren't people touching people. So you walk through this piece of apparatus, put your hands up and it's, the scan's done, and you walk out the other end. So theoretically it should be faster, and it may become so in time. We don't have human intervention, which should be better as well. And we're told that as we get faster, the throughput will be better.
So no frisking down at the airport anymore?
Well, not unless this apparatus finds something. And of course then we would go back into human intervention.
You've also been looking into the future of security technology in relation to travel. What devices?
Yeah, there's all kinds of bits and bobs around. So the future of travel is really quite incredible. When you think about 2030, we will have 12 billion people flying at that point, which will be double the amount we have now. We know our airports are going to get busier. We know there's more people going through them, and they're just becoming more ordinary in the sense that people are just travelling as if they're getting into their cars. We know also that security is a big issue around that kind of number. So there's work being done down that road. One of the more interesting ones is a series of tunnels. They literally look like tunnels, and these tunnels have not only the equipment we've just spoken about, but they also have the ability to smell. So they're looking for smells, not of whether you put your deodorant on, of course, but smells that are related to bombs or other chemical devices. And they're also able to take thermal images of you as you walk past. So they'll be able to know whether you have metal. They'll be able to smell and detect whether you have chemicals on you shouldn't have. They're also able to do things like thermal lie detecting. So they're able to see body image and whether there are parts of your body that are hotter than others. Because if we're tense and we are anxious about something, our body tends to heat up beyond the normal capacity.
You mentioned that this will be available in a series of tunnels within airports.
Yeah. So what we're looking at are really just like cubicles, long cubicles. So what will happen, we're told, at this stage we're still a few years off, is that there will be preliminary sorting of people. So we'll still have the usual workers at the front end. They'll put people through different tunnels. At this stage they're called normal, intermediate and advanced, which I'm sure they'll have to do something about changing those words. And depending on which level of security they think people will need, they'll then funnel them through that. And you'll literally just walk down this tunnel. And then the apparatus, as I said, will do all the bits and pieces it's supposed to do at the other end. If things are okay, you'll just keep walking. And if they're not, of course, you'll be pulled aside.
Just for the science fiction fans amongst us,
yes.
Is there any chance that they'll be teleporting, beam me up, Scotty style?
Ah, the Holy Grail. The answer is not most probably in my lifetime, but we are getting close to, not beam me up, Scotty, but we're getting close to being able to move objects around the planet. And that's 3D printing, and that's becoming a huge industry, one that we'll hear a lot more about over the next few years. The difference between that and what you're asking is that it leaves the original where it is and sends a copy, an exact copy, somewhere else. The big difference, again, is that it's not sending you or I. It's mostly sending inanimate objects. So it can send glass, it can send ceramics, it can send all kinds of things backwards and forwards.
And that's happening
right now, as we speak.
That's unbelievable.
3D printing exists as we speak. So again, original stays where it is. It's sending a copy of that. So it's sending the plan, so to speak, to another machine that builds it somewhere else. And those machines can spit them out depending on what it is, like a glass, literally a glass that you would drink out of, can be produced in a couple of minutes at the other end, exactly the same as what was sent from the first machine.
Like a 3D fax.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. It's just a 3D fax on steroids. And we're also getting really clever with that because we're beginning to push down the road of 3D printing all of our internal organs. So we're talking about 3D printing our hearts, our livers, our kidneys, just, you know, pick anything from the menu. And you'll be able to 3D print. Now, again, 10, 15, 20 years down the track is what we're talking about.
What's the advantage of that?
Oh, just huge amounts. Firstly, one of the things we know is that we will live longer, but our body will require more spare parts, and of course those spare parts are difficult to come by. Unfortunately, for many of them, we have to wait for somebody else to pass away before we're able to get a heart or a kidney. What we'll be able to do in the not-too-distant future is to take out our existing kidney or heart, so our kidney or heart, for the doctors to make an exact digital replica of that, and then they'll be able to print an exact replica of that, a physical replica of that, complete with all the arteries, everything that's required, and then put it back into the body. Which means that the rejection, we're told, again, this is all still hypothesis, it's being done, tested, but not, of course, brought into fruition. We're told rejection will be far lower because it has been taken from the body, replicated from the body, and inserted back into that same person. And, of course, you will not have to wait for somebody to pass on before you're able to get that transplant that you need.
Morris, always interesting, and look forward to catching up with you again soon.
As do I.
Morris Mizalowski joining us here on Afternoons. He's a futurist and a technology blogger too. This is Sarah Watkins with you and me, and you're on Statewide Afternoons.